This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
It's a special edition of the Graybar Sports Open Line. It's a KMOX of Ultra. I'm Jen Cease. Welcome to our location broadcast from Hot Shots Bar off South Lindbergh. That's at Lindbergh and Lime, basically. First of these events, we're getting later start on it than we did in previous years. This first one, of course, with Jake Gerwood-Reich, who's sitting next to me right now, JGR. Quick hello. Good round of applause for JGR. We're going to have a little bit of time talking with him, of course, on the broadcast, and then he'll, of course, get to the business of signing some autographs, taking some selfies, and meeting you and getting close and personal with the fans here in St. Louis. Now, again, this is the first of four. There's three other times we'll be doing this. One is next week. Jay Reed will be out at the Hot Shots location in Wentzville on September 18th. Oh, that was, by the way, on Thursday, August 14th. On September 18th, we'll be in the Hot Shots in Arnold, and that's Tomas Ostrak. He'll make a visit there. And our very last one will be at the Hot Shots in Fenton on September 25th, and Timo Baumgartel will be the featured player at those. I always enjoy these. This particular Hot Shots location, I was talking with the managers, by the way, didn't realize it. It's less than a year old. There's still more work for them to do, building a patio outside. Jake, you're looking around here. It looks like just even on the inside, much less building a patio outside. What a great place to celebrate a bunch of sports in a day or a weekend.
It's a new place as well, but I really like the scenery here, to be honest.
Yeah, and like 4 million screens. You can see all kinds of soccer on here.
A lot of darts board as well, pool table over there.
That's like the third time you've asked about darts.
Yeah.
Do you have a history with the game of darts?
I don't, but I think I might have to have a game after this, to be honest, looking at it.
If you play with my son who's here, don't play with the sharp pointy kind. I don't trust him. So here at these locations, if you haven't been to this event before, I see some regulars here. I love seeing repeat customers. But what we do is obviously have a conversation with the player who's on site, and then there's all kinds of great things that Hot Shots is promoting, as well as Odyssey, KMOX, and Y98. There's going to be food and beverage specials that you can take advantage of, raffles, giveaways. I even see new, a tattoo application station. Looks like you get a city tattoo right there on your bicep or tricep there, and have some fun with that. And then, of course, you know, giveaways and those things like that, and just have a chance, again, to celebrate the game and get up and close and personal with the player. So, JGR is sitting next to me now. Let's just get the thing out of the way. Nickname. So I have to tell you how many times that an Apple announcer will come into the booth, just kind of talk to us locally and make sure, am I pronouncing names right? And every single time, they double check and they're like, They check the pronunciation. I'm like, or you can call him JGR. And they're like, no, we can't do that.
Oh, really?
Is the nickname old? Does it come from just the fact that you have a long name? Or is there something else behind the initials there?
Yeah, I'll definitely say it's from the last name being longer. A couple of people called me JGR back home. But most of the time it was Jake. But I did come here and there was another Jake in the team at the time.
That is fair.
Jake Nowinski. So obviously it was getting a little bit confusing. So JGR, they called me, and now it's just stock. And to be honest, I actually really like the nickname. So
that's all right. So what do mom and dad call you? Is it Jake?
Just Jake.
Just Jake. So as we kind of talk a little bit through, and we'll get to, of course, some of the recent happenings with City playing Aston Villa, but let's start where it began. And that was when you were young, living in Australia, in a country that is not dissimilar from the United States in terms of there's not just this one sport to go to. There's a lot of popular sports in the United States. Other popular sports in Australia, is rugby number one? And how'd you get to soccer?
Yeah, like, I think the US and Australia are very common in that, in being, like, soccer is not the main sport in the country. Obviously, like I told you before, when I was younger, like, a lot of my friends went towards rugby, and that's where I wanted to go, but my mum said, look, you're not big enough for that, you don't have the thick neck, so she put me into soccer, and then I actually loved it, and that's why I'm here really now. But, yeah, it was a hard decision, but obviously you got me here now.
Yeah. That's really interesting. And I remember when we talked to you, you talked about the fact that I think at the time you were driving at least an hour or two in from each way, practices, those kinds of things, and mom and dad taking you there. And I think you said mom's in town with you.
Yeah.
How nice is that to have her kind of back with you on this journey?
No, it's been really nice having my mom here. She's been here for about 3 weeks. So she's leaving on Sunday morning. So yeah, she saw a couple of games, and she's really enjoyed her time here, and I've really enjoyed her company. So when I started thinking soccer was getting a little bit more serious for me, there wasn't many clubs that were near where I lived, so I had to travel probably an hour a day.
But just one way.
But obviously my dad and mom did it, and I'm really grateful, because some parents don't.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, there's people trickling in as we are talking here at the Hot Shots location off Lindbergh, and we, as I told you, by the time we get to the end of the 2 hours, there will be kids coming from soccer practices, as soccer season is never, it's never over here either. It's ongoing. Mm-hmm. Go back to those times in your younger days. You have some favorite memories of, like, what hooked you to this sport, other than mom saying you're not big enough for rugby? What pointed you this way, and what made you say, this is something I want to do seriously for a long time?
Yeah, I would say going to the games at my local club where I came from, Sydney FC. I kind of fell in love with the club watching it, and also just watching big clubs like Arsenal. I'm an Arsenal fan, Barca, and just watching those games, and I wanted to do this
I got a
seriously.
Few yes in the background. Yeah, yeah, somebody else is.
So I'd say those, and then just playing it, I just really enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's awesome. What in particular? Like, was it? Is it the speed? Is it the flow? Is it the creativity of the beautiful game? Some of the reasons that people love the game are the reasons other people don't like the game. What was it about soccer for you?
Yeah, it was definitely the skill, the speed of the game, but I also really liked, I've met a lot of people in my life from the sport, so also just getting to know people from playing with them or being coached by them. But obviously just as a kid, I just loved kicking a ball around. So, yeah.
Did you break a lot of things doing that in your house?
Like, definitely.
So all the parents out there, if you've had things broken in your house, you probably have a pro player in the making. My son is right now shaking, nodding his head. He's broken two windows and a couple of blinds. I'm not appreciative of that as a mother. But so then moving forward, Sydney FC, and you, of course, appeared also for your youth national team. Tell me about those experiences, playing for your home club. That's got to be a lot of pride. And then when you appear to the national team, and what is that like, and how is it different from each other?
Okay, so at Sydney, I joined at 13 years old in the academy. So it starts at under 13s, and then I went all the way up to the first team. And when I joined the academy, my goal was always to make it to the first team. It was one of the dreams of mine, and then obviously pursuing something overseas. And for the youth national teams, obviously you always want to represent your nation. I started in under 15s. It was a bit of a hard time then because of COVID, so a lot of things got cancelled, like the under 17s World Cup, the under 16s Asian Cup. But look, I'm still eligible for the 23s and obviously the first team in Australia, and I have ambitions to still represent my country.
Any any rumblings, any potential that you know of?
I'm not too sure. I think there's a camp for the under 23s coming up at the end of this month, so I mean, let's see what happens.
That's
but
all
hopefully
right.
I do get selected.
That's right. Well, more to come. I promise to everybody who's already here and people coming in the door, you'll have your time with JGR, Jake Gerwood-Reich. But stay tuned. Hang tight your seats here at Hot Shots off Lindbergh. We'll do one more segment with JGR, and then he'll step aside to the autograph table, spend some time with fans who came to visit. More of the Soccer Showcase presented by Michelob Ultra next on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to KMOX Soccer Showcase presented by Michelob Ultra. I'm Jen Cees coming to you live from the Hot Shots location here off Lindbergh and Lime Ferry here in South County. Great location, having a good time, having a lot of people come into the door. Looking forward to meeting our featured player today, Jake Gerwood-Reich, who's alongside of me. Hello again, Jake.
Hello.
I know you're looking forward to getting to the autographs. We got to call out a few other people who are in the house. So, like, make sure you come here. If you don't, if you're listening to us on the road or in your drive, you get time. You get till 8 o'clock to get here tonight and meet JGR, and we'll be doing a show the entire time. Dale Schilly's alongside me right now, game analyst, City 2 assistant coach, St. Louis the Academy coach, and I don't know what other jobs you have.
That's it.
Okay. Do you need other jobs?
I do not.
You need other jobs? And I spy someone in red, Dale, with a white hat. And it's Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott, who's going to be joining us a little bit later. So, who did not know I was going to call him out right now. So you have a chance to hear from Bill McDermott as well. So before we get JGR to signing autographs, we visited your past a little bit and kind of your youth part. So fast forward to, did you believe you were going to move halfway across the world to play the game that you love? I think you just turned 20, was it right? Like just turned 20 last year.
Yeah, well, that was always the goal, but did I know it was going to happen? No. But I'm happy to do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. And when it comes to thinking about your journey. When I look at this last year, when you came in, you actually came in ahead of the transfer window. So I think that you were as new as many of those. Well, now you've been here with the club for a year, gone through your own personal challenges. We're here with the transfer window, new players in. Now that you're you're not new anymore, what is that like to have the players, new players come in with the energy and what that does for a team that, frankly, you know, has struggled with injury and all kinds of changes this year?
Yeah, so like I came here a year ago, and obviously I know how hard it is to come into a new team, especially a team that has struggled this season. I was lucky enough, I had two guys kind of took me under their wing, Jose and Indy. They kind of looked after me with the apartment and showed me around the city and just seeing if I was okay, pretty much, because I was young and never lived in I did live in another country, but never moved away
right
properly. I'm here to help them so they can gel in the team, because we want everyone to feel comfortable.
I do love Dale's alongside me now. I'm glad that he was influenced by Jose Kojima. I'm not sure about Indiana Vasilev's influence on JGR. Oh, he's a good time, no?
No, he's a good time. We lived in the same building, so we spent a lot of time together, yeah.
And Dale, I'm sure you can probably come at a variety of questions, and I'm thinking in my head, you know, Jake, when you were trying to come back from injury, yeah, I think you played with City 2 a bit. Dale's now an assistant coach for City 2 at this moment. Both of you, like, what's that like to have that ability to step down, if you will, to either develop or return from injury with a team that, frankly, also in City 2 is doing pretty darn well right now?
Yeah, what was it, you know, just what was the attraction for you to jump into City 2 when you had the opportunity?
Yeah, so I played one last season and one this season. So last season, I think it was just good for me to go down and get some match minutes, because I was struggling with match minutes, and also me coming back from an injury and surgery to play my first game from injury was good for me to get minutes as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Dale.
Was it difficult to take a step down in terms of level, or was it? Did you feel like there was an easy adjustment to go from a first team to a second team and then back up again?
I think it. I've done it. At my previous club as well, but I think it's you just need to take it as a positive. You're getting match minutes, and also just prove yourself to get minutes in the first team. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a good thing.
And it helped that you had Critch in the second team, and then you had Critch in the first team. That was pretty fortunate.
Yeah, it was. So I got to work with Critch for one game, so yeah. I knew him before he came up, which was nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and talking about David Critchley's impact on the team and taking it over, the team's gone through a lot in terms of changing identity a little bit. You yourself had an ankle injury. Now that you're here and you are hopefully, knock on wood, you're healthy. Yes, we're healthy. No injuries.
We're healthy.
Great. We're going to stay that way. Looking at the season and with 10 games left in the regular season, what are your thoughts? You've moved halfway across the world. You've gone through injury. You've seen changes with the club that you're playing for. What's next? What do you think of where you are so far?
Yeah, I mean, obviously there's been some ups and downs for this year. I've been here. But I think for the last 10 games, we need to really approach this and do whatever we can for the fans. I think we know we haven't been good enough for the club. Obviously, I think we shouldn't be thinking about playoffs. I think we just need to, you know, find our identity again and get some results and kind of build towards the end of this season and next season.
What about you personally? I know it's, if you talk to any player on a first or second team, it's minutes. You want to be starting. You want to play a lot. Do you want to have your role more defined? We talked about your center back versus center mid, back to center back. What would be ideal for you in this part of your journey?
Yeah, I mean, the most ideal thing would be to play a lot of minutes at the end of this season. But, look, I'm putting my head down in training, and the minutes I'm getting, I'm doing my best. So hopefully that still comes, and, yeah.
You have one, Dale?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what you spoke about already. So Aston Villa, did you speak about Aston
Villa? Oh, we didn't get to that yet. Let's go.
Yeah, how was that? I mean, I thought you had a good game there. You had some good moments, defending moments, and you're playing against some quality guys. Tell us a little bit about the experience.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, versus Aston Villa, such a big club at the moment, Champions League and the Premier League, and to come up against players like Ollie Watkins was really nice, a good test for myself and the team.
What's it like, though, when you're stepping to a player that has... I saw the look change on your face when you said his name. Little stars in your eyes. How do you remain... You got to be your professional self, but you're also stepping up to somebody that you probably look up to. How do you do that? How do you keep yourself in that moment? It's such a big one.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you have to respect the opponent. They play at a very high level, but to be honest, for myself, when I step on the pitch, I'm not scared of anyone, and I'll have to hit him if I do, or defend him. But yeah, again, it was a great game to play in, and I'll definitely not forget it for sure.
Have you had experiences in Europe, playing wise, or as a youth, or anything that way, or has it only been your international experience has been here in the States?
I actually did live in Scotland for 6 months when I was younger.
Really?
Yeah, around 11, I played for a team called St Johnstone in Scotland in the Scottish Premier League. So I played there in Europe, but I also had Celtic come and verse me in Australia for Sydney about 2 years ago. So that was also a good test too. I think Ange Postecoglou was the coach at the time. So those are kind of the experience I've had.
Yeah. Do you have aspirations to try to get there someday, or were you pretty happy here in the States?
No, I'm pretty happy here. I think when I signed here, I saw the MLS growing so much. Still growing, like you saw, yeah. Son and Muller have signed now. But I think it was a good stepping stone for me to where I want to be. Obviously, high levels in Europe. Yeah.
Yeah. 10 games left. And I ask both of you guys, 10 games left. What does it look like for an individual player, such as yourself, Jake, and then the team to try and finish out this season strong where you can look back and say, okay, we had struggles, but we finished the way we wanted to finish? Is it? I heard, I think, Critch talk about balance and consistency today in the press conference. Is that where it really is for the team?
Yeah, I agree. I think we've definitely struggled with consistency. But it kind of reminds me of when I first came here, like, we were struggling and we had a good end to the season. So I think we want to kind of do it like that and obviously build on for next year. But obviously we need to show some good games at the end of this season.
Awesome.
Yeah, I would say, you know, Jake's hit it on the head. It's really about how do you end the year and set things up for next year from a collective perspective. And then for the guys individually, they want to set themselves up in the best position possible. You don't know really what's going to happen from a coaching perspective and what the direction of the leadership of the team's going to be. So you're doing it for yourself in some ways. You're doing it for the group in some ways. And you're hoping that when the next guy comes in, or if Critch continues, that you've set yourself up to be a part of that again next year, which obviously from a contract perspective, that's different for every single player. But you want to be involved with more than just being a part of it. You want to be in the 11. You want to put yourself in the best position to get as many minutes as possible. These guys are competitive. They want to play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, everybody wants minutes, for sure. Well, I got to ask you one more question. It's a local question, Jake, here. I look out and I see kids there. There's young kids. There's older ones. There's some that are getting ready to go back to college, or they already have. So in St. Louis right now, youth soccer seasons are starting up in full. High school soccer starting. College soccer starting. What's your advice for some starry-eyed young ones who look at somebody like you and think, I'd really like to be where he is one day?
Yeah, I think for me, when I was younger, a lot of people, I wanted to do something and people would say, oh, I don't think that's possible. But look, you always have to believe in yourself. That's what I would say.
That's awesome. All right, more to come. Stay right here. JGR is going to step away. He's going to spend some time with the fans. But the KMOX Soccer Showcase rolls on. We'll have an in-person visit. We'll talk a little bit more with Dale Schilly, who's right here at the Hot Shots off Lindbergh. Talk a little bit about what we normally do, game analysis from previous games. I think Dale was a little starry-eyed with Aston Villa as well. I'm going to ask him about that as well. And talk, of course, about City's next game against Nashville here at home. That is all up next on KMOX. Into a KMOX Soccer Showcase presented by Michelob Ultra, one of our partners in this broadcast, along with Together Credit Union, our sister station Y98, who carries all City games live. And on those, we're here at Hot Shots at Lindbergh and Lime Ferry at this location. It's a great location to come out. You still have time if you're not already in the building. Make sure you get here before 8 o'clock and you have a chance to meet JGR, Jake Goodwood-Reich, who's going to sign autographs, maybe take a photo or two. And it was really great talking with him in our first two segments where Dale Schilly dropped by, got a few great questions in there. Our Y98 game analyst, City 2 assistant coach, academy director. He doesn't want any other jobs, and he's my broadcast partner at this point in time.
That's
so thanks
right.
for doing that.
That's right. I wonder who has the better mustache for you?
Oh,
JGR or Indy Vasilev?
Oh, I knew you were going to do that. As soon as you said mustache, I'm looking
two
around.
Two opposites.
They're totally different.
Yeah, two opposites.
I would see. That would be a fun little video to do with the two of them if Indy's ever back in town. So definitely fun there. And make sure, again, you come out here. We're having fans start to come up. It's a really great way to make touch with the players and kind of go around and do that. In the meantime, before we... You know, I think for our last segment, Dale, we got to pull Mr. Soccer up here before you take off. But we kind of started to talk about City and where they were, and this is normally what you do for the analysis, is kind of take a look at where City left off with Minnesota, picked up the game with Aston Villa, which was a great experience in and to itself, and now this weekend heading into Nashville SC. Where do you want to start on your analysis?
Yeah, look, I think the first place you have to start is how different the two teams are, Minnesota and Nashville. And Minnesota is a team that likes to sit deep and get you on the counterattack. And Nashville is a team that likes to play higher up the field and press you and win the ball back as soon as they can. So it's two completely different philosophies to how you're going to get results. And both Minnesota and Nashville are in the top four
right.
in their conferences. I think Minnesota may be in third place now, maybe second. Nashville's in third place and fighting for a supporter shield crown because I think they're 3 points off the lead in the Eastern Conference with, I believe, 47 points.
Yeah. When you look at that, I believe that David Critchley, he and Timo Baumgartel did the press conference today in St. Louis City and just talked about how important not only it was what Jake Goodwood-Reich just said, working on that balance and consistency, but when it comes to Nashville, approaching them and having to make sure this team stays very compact, that they'll get you on the break, they'll get you on the transition because of their attacking prowess.
Yeah, yeah. So he also spoke about those individual duels and being able to win those individual battles, those 50-50 balls, the confronting the guy on the ball and trying to win those duels. Had an interesting statistic that there were, in the six games that they have lost this year, that Nashville has lost this year, the winning team won the individual duel battle 53% to 47%. So they are at least 53%. So it was one of the things that they talked about as a group collectively is the need to win balls back in those individual moments, not to be lax in those moments. You have to disrupt their flow, disrupt their ability to play in the front half of the field by winning the battles and keeping them in the back half.
He's Dale Schilly. I'm Jen Sees. We're here at Hot Shots at the Lindbergh location where Jake Goodwood-Reich is our featured player. Currently very, very busy. I can see him over there, Dale, signing autographs with eager fans. So I love seeing that. Let's talk a little bit then, too, about we're going to approach Nashville, different team. But what does the friendly with Aston Villa, what did that give besides just the having Edward Leuven talk this week and at halftime about how with stars in his eyes about how great that was to have a team of that caliber. What does that do then for the players when they can approach these last 10 games of the MLS season?
I would say what it did for me, and I would assume it did for the players, was it allowed you to play, or in my case, broadcast and be involved with the game because you love the game. And it wasn't the pressures of, we have to win this game. Can we get 3 points out of this game? But you're competing, and you remembered that you enjoyed playing at a high level because you're good at playing at a high level, and you enjoy playing against guys at a high level because of what they bring to the game and the quality of the players that they are. So I think just going back to your roots as to this is why I'm here, this is what's important to me, is motivating. And I thought it was... that was one of the things that resonated with me with the game from the other night. Then you get to the point of, I'm a competitor. I want to play against the best level I can. How do I match up? And that was really awesome. It was really good to see the level of athlete, the level of insight, the level of technical ability that the guys from Austin Villa had. It was a good performance by us. The other thing that we got to see was some of the performances by some of our younger players, and include Jake in that, because, again, I thought he had a good second half, solid on the defending side, and some of the younger guys, McSorley and Makai Joyner in particular, I thought had good performances against Aston Villa as well.
Yeah, I think you and Joey got a little excited. Makai, I think, took a player to the end line. You were pretty impressed by that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think there's moments for players where they get over the hump of feeling like that they're a part of something, but they're not really involved. And that was a moment where I thought Makai looked like he belonged, and he believed that he belonged, and his confidence level went higher. It was a couple of really good moments from both McSorley and Makai.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we've got Drew Young is here. If you look on Camo X's socials, you'll often see the video work of Drew Young, and I'm pretty sure Drew mentioned that Makai reached out and said, got any of those? Got any of that footage I could have?
I'm sure Makai is all about his social media, so I'm sure he was looking for something to watch and something to listen to.
Awesome. Well, we got one more segment to go this hour. Again, if you're not here at Hot Shots off of Lindbergh, make sure you get here. We're partnered here with Camo X, Y98, Together Credit Union, and Hot Shots, of course, to host this soccer showcase with St. Louis City SC with our featured player, Jake Girdwood-Reich, who is currently signing autographs, and he'll be here to 8. So make sure you stay with us. One more segment this hour to go. We're going to get him on the microphone. He's here, Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott. He will join us up next on Camo X. Back on the Camo X Soccer Showcase, presented by Michelob Ultra, here from Hot Shots, location off of Lindbergh and basically Lee May Ferry in South County here. A lot of people showing up to meet Jake Girdwood-Reich. He's our featured player, one of four different such events that we will do. I'll give you more information about those, you know, toward the end of the second hour, because we do have a second hour. And joining me for that, so I'm going to do a crossover segment. I got Dale Schilly here, game analyst, and has 45 different jobs with St. Louis City SC, and Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott, who's going to have the second hour with me. I figure let's cross over there.
Yes.
Get these two gentlemen. All I need to do is let you guys start talking soccer, and I'm going to give you an out time, no more talking time.
Just give us the 3-2-1.
Yeah, 3-2-1. So Jake is here doing, one thing is, Bill, you've been around the game daily forever. How important is that this level with the pros, that you connect fans at a location like a Hot Shots, doing events like this, connecting fans to the players on more than what they just do on the pitch when you go to games?
Go ahead, Dale.
Well, I mean, it's the lifeline of the club and the program. It's one of the things we talk about to the academy kids, is the importance of the fans, the importance of creating relationships with the people that are in the stands that are supporting them. It's one of the things we talk about in the City 2 environment, is signing autographs and getting across the other side of the field. And remember the old St. Louis FC days, how fans would line up around the soccer park field and we'd go across and slap high fives with everybody from one end of the field to the other. I remember beating Minnesota in an Open Cup match in PKs on that field. I don't think we were ever going to leave. There was a rush of fans on the field, and just that relationship. And
Dale, one of your players autographed my kid's forehead.
Who was it? Mark
I don't remember.
Yeah.
I was just like, who did that?
I think,
listen to the children when they say to do that.
If there was an auto pen invented back then, then we would have been using the auto pen on everybody.
But, Jen, as a follow-up to your question and what you talked about, I think it's almost mandatory in a city like St. Louis that the players have an identity with the general population, simply because soccer players over the years, over the decades, always had to go out of their way to accommodate the fans, because it wasn't a totally accepted sport like it is now, dramatically different than it was decades ago. And with reference to what St. Louis did, to grow the popularity of the sport with their local players. Like I said just a moment ago, it's just about mandatory, especially for a city like St. Louis.
All right, you guys were both at the Aston Villa game. Dale just talked about it a little bit. Starry-eyed, got to see Jake Gerwood-Wright talk about stepping up to one of those players and kind of testing his mettle. You were on the broadcast, the pregame broadcast with me. What did that mean to you to have a team of that caliber here in our hometown playing our home team?
Well, as we had talked about on that particular evening, Jen, St. Louis, this was not a strange coincidence for St. Louis to have foreign teams of extremely high pedigree come into St. Louis. As far back as the 50s and 60s at Public School Stadium, the CYC All-Stars on a regular basis played Liverpool, Manchester City, Manchester United. And as we talked about that particular evening, back in May of 1964, the CYC All-Stars tied Liverpool. Liverpool had Ian St. John, Dennis Violet, national team players of real pedigree. And here we are tying CYC All-Stars. Here we are tying as a team Liverpool. That doesn't happen. Now, I played in one of those particular games for the CYC All-Stars against Borussia Dortmund as a prelim, Dale, as a prelim at Busch Stadium to the St. Louis Stars and the Vancouver Royals. The Vancouver Royals coached by Ferenc Puskás. Ferenc Puskás was actually at Busch Stadium.
I may have been there making fun of you.
You most probably were. The ball centered off. Rudolf Napsinger takes the ball. He knocks it to the center back. The center back flights it to the left wing corner flag arc, and Lothar Emmerich does one step over, two step overs, three step overs, gets it over, curls it over, away from the goalkeeper, Mike Houlihan. The center back who started the play hits it first time off the face of the crossbar. It rebounds almost back to the center circle. Al Trost and I are at center midfield. We're playing a 4-2-4 at that particular time. Al and I are at midfield, and we're like this. Now, we look up at the clock at Busch Stadium, and there's 45 seconds gone. Oh, my word. They are going to take us apart. And they promptly did by a score of 8-1. Joe Carenza scored the lone goal, and he ran the perimeter of the field as if he had tallied in a World Cup final. Joe, it's 7-1 right now.
Well, the key to the whole story is that Bill never left the center circle.
Absolutely. Like Valderrama, Dale.
I've heard that said about you before. Is this true?
I stayed in a center circle. I had to. My job was very simple. Harry Q used to say, Billy, win the ball, give it to Al. Al Trost, at which I was very adept and very good and wise. If I wanted to be at the first 11, cut the play out, and as early as you get it, give it to Al. It's real simple.
But getting to the question, the original question, yeah, it was a little bit different with Aston Villa there than it was with Bayer Leverkusen, because Leverkusen was really like the first time we were in the stadium. We got to see what it was like. We saw the players. We saw some of the guys for the first time in the team. It was more of a spectacle. But now we got to see the group that we've been supporting and watching for the last last few years now play Aston Villa. It did feel more like our team playing against an EPL team, much different than the Leverkusen game was, even though Leverkusen was a great watch, and they were a really good team. And then they went on to do great things. Yeah, they did great things.
And they were, remember, Dale, they were coached at that particular time by Xabi Alonso.
Yeah, yeah.
And they goes on to have a perfect season in the Bundesliga.
Yeah.
But watching Aston Villa, who had a fabulous year just the year prior and almost lost on goal differential by one goal, 5-4, to PSG, who later went on to win the European Championship. And in the process, I think we're clearly, I don't know what you think, Dale, but I think they were clearly the club team of last season.
Well, when you look at the result in the final, you can't argue it.
Yes, exactly. 5-0 against Inter Milan. Hello. And when Ashraf Hakimi and Nuno Mendes coming out of the backfield, it looked like they were using 15 people. Every time you looked up, someone was available, and they got Vitinha in the center of the field totally running the game. Totally running the game, and you got the likely Ballon d'Or winner, Ousmane Dembele, playing up top, running by himself alongside of Doué, another French international.
And they were missing a McDermott inside the center circle.
All right, well, that's a lot of soccer for 1 hour, but more to come. We're going to let Dale Shilly go. Thanks, Dale, for stopping by in this first hour to talk a little bit with Jake Gerwood-Reich and do his typical analysis and kind of go over. And nice to have a crossover segment with Mr. Soccer Bill McDermott, who's going to hang around for the second hour. So we're going to talk. Yeah, you're staying.
Oh,
you're not getting out of the seat, Bill.
Whoa. Where's Steve Moore? That was not in my cut.
So Bill's going to stay around. We're going to talk, of course, if Bill's around, we're definitely going to talk the international side of the game. We're going to talk about college soccer, too, though, because that's getting started with our very own SLU Billikens. And we'll get JGR up here for the first segment. Bill, I know he would like to meet and talk with you and do that here on
I just
Cam
congratulated
West.
Him on Australia qualifying for the World Cup already.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that will do it for first hour here on Cam OX Soccer Showcase presented by Michelob Ultra, coming to you live from the Hot Shots off Lindbergh, and we're here until 8, so if you haven't made the first hour, you've got time. Get down here. Soccer, the traffic's probably over. Get down here and make sure you come meet JGR in person and hear a little bit more from Bill McDermott and myself in this second hour. We're only halfway through. Stay right here for more soccer talk with us on the Soccer Showcase presented to you live from Hot Shots by Michelob Ultra. Everything's up next after the news on KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Live. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Now, and at this time, Jen C's filling in for Matt Pauley on a special edition of the Graybar Sports Open Line. This is actually the KMOX Soccer Showcase presented by Michelob Ultra. We're here in partnership with our sister station, Y98, who carries all cities games on the radio station and streaming, of course, online. And Together Credit Union, who's a great partner as well, here with a great time here at the Hot Shots at Lindbergh and Lee May Ferry, a great location that just actually hasn't even been here for a year, not quite, and they still have many more plans to build this place up. So it's going to be a great place to consume a lot of soccer and a lot of sports here in St. Louis. This is the first of four events. We are here with Jake Girdwood-Reich at this location, and the events coming up, we have one next week, August 14th. That is the Hot Shots in Wentzville with Jay Reed. September 18th, the Hot Shots in the Arnold location, and that will be with Tomas Ostrak. And then finally, the last one of the season for this set of events is September 25th. That will be at the Hot Shots in Fenton with Timo Baumgartel. It's always a great time. I like the way Hot Shots runs this with our broadcast. You get a ticket, you know your number, you get a chance to get some food, some beverages, participate in some raffles and giveaways. There's a tattoo application station over here. Kids having a great time. So make sure you have time to still come in here by 8 o'clock. JGR will be here. And at our future locations as well, we have these events. It's a really, really good time. So let me get right to it right now. I'm joined by a very special co-host who kind of wrapped up the last hour with me and Dale Schilly. I could have listened to that, Bill McDermott, forever. I would like you to meet Jake Girdwood-Reich in person at the same time, JGR. Meet our St. Louis soccer encyclopedia, Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott.
Well, I have met Jake at a training session much, much earlier when he first joined the team, and I most recently congratulated him on Australia qualifying again for the World Cup. But, Jake, I'd really be interested in your opinion with reference to the growth of the sport in the United States. I know you probably had a chance to watch it from afar, but now that you are a member of Major League Soccer, do you see this MLS making a huge impact for the sport in our country?
For sure. I've been here for a year, and I've seen growth from when I've got here until now. I think in Australia, we kind of look at the United States and kind of want to build our own kind of league like you guys are now. I think it's growing very, very quickly.
And I think one of, if not the biggest factor in the overall growth, was the introduction of the soccer-specific stadium. The only reason I mention that is when the league first started in 1996, we were doing games at Giant Stadium, the Rose Bowl. Rose Bowl accommodates 90,000 people. If we had a crowd of 25 to 30, which is very respectable for soccer in the United States, it still lost the effect of what you were trying to accomplish with the intimacy. So the soccer-specific stadium combined with the great surfaces at the soccer-specific stadiums, it's made a huge difference for that growth of the sport, I think.
Yeah, I think also when you look at the St. Louis City Stadium, for me, it's perfect. It gets packed out. I think I like the grass as well, really nice. But I think, like I said before, I think MLS is growing very, very quickly in a very good way. And you can see with the profile names and the young players coming through in the league.
We talked about the growth in our country, and obviously there's getting to be a lot more recognition around the world internationally. And case in point, yesterday, Song Yamin from Tottenham Hotspur, Thomas Muller from Bayern Munich, now joining the league. Now, everyone goes, whoa, those are internationally known players. But since 1996, Thierry Henry, Lothar Matthäus, Bastian Schweinsteiger, Guillermo Barros-Schelotto, so some big players are seeing that this is indeed going to work for them. Some in the later stages of their career, but others, a goodly number of the Hispanic players, they're coming in the prime of their careers.
Yeah, I actually mentioned before, like Son and Muller joining the league just now. You can just see how much ambitions this league actually has. Also, I remember in Australia when I was much younger, I saw the likes of Zlatan Ibrahimovic coming as well. But I think the league recently hasn't struggled to get big names here, and also more in their prime, not in their later of their career.
Be interested in a player's viewpoint. Next year at the World Cup 2026, it's gone from 32 to 48 teams. Too many?
I'm not too sure. I mean, this is the first time, so we'll see how it is. But yeah, I think it's nice to have more nations, just for other nations that, let's say, that haven't made the World Cup. I'm actually excited to see what happens.
Case in point, from what you just mentioned, Jordan and Uzbekistan. Those are just two countries so far who are in their first World Cup. But it just shows what FIFA is trying to, I think one of the things they're trying to do is to follow up what you just said, the overall bringing inclusion to everybody, showing that the sport is once again the great unifier.
Yeah, exactly. I actually versed Uzbekistan in the youth internationals. So I think, I think it's really nice to see other countries that haven't been to World Cup give them a better opportunity to make it. Yeah.
I heard you talking earlier with Jen about playing for the various youth national teams for Australia. Now that you get to Major League Soccer, how would you compare the levels of competition with the league play here and international play representing your country?
Yeah, international football has got a bit different spice to it, I'd say. It's hard to compare because it's also youth too, obviously men's football here. But yeah, it's two different games for me, club and international, so yeah.
That was Jake Gerbwood, right? He's here with us, JGR, as we have permission, right, to call you JGR.
Yep.
But
yep.
Jake, as well, he's here at the Hot Shots location off of Lindbergh. It's like near Lindbergh and Limay Ferry. You still got a little bit less than an hour. You can get here. If you're on the road, you come on over here. He's ready to sign autographs. He's signed several. There's a lot of great activities, giveaways, raffles. There's a tattoo station. My kids already have several on their arms as it is right now. They're having a great time. So great location. Come down here and see Jake Goodwood-Reich. And staying with me, he's going to move over back to the autograph table. So you didn't miss it. If you didn't have a chance to get his autograph, he's moving back there right now. And then Bill McDermott's going to stay with me here online because we're going to take a turn into a little bit different. We're going to roll Bills with college soccer. SLU Billiken College Soccer is just about to start. I think the women actually have had already one exhibition game. We'll be talking with Kevin Kalish, the men's head coach, next in our next segment on KMOX. We're live from Hot Shots here at the Lindbergh and Limay Ferry location, hosting one of our first of four KMOX soccer showcases presented by Michelob Ultra in partnership with Y98, our sister station that carries all city soccer games, and of course Together Credit Union doing great things with the players and kids around the area with their Saves for Savings program and more. Alongside me right now is Bill McDermott. You have a nice segment there talking with JGR and about a little bit of his history and on the Australian side of the soccer game.
And it's always interesting to get a different type of a player, get their input on what soccer is like in the United States, but in particular, what soccer is like in St. Louis. Being the founding city of the sport in our country. And you always like to see if players from outside the United States, anywhere in the world, have a feel for what St. Louis has done for the growth of the sport in our country.
One of the important things, too, about St. Louis soccer is St. Louis University Billiken soccer, and they're getting ready to start their seasons. I can't believe it. It feels like they just ended, and they're here again. Joining us now live by phone is Kevin Kalish. He's the head coach of the men's side of the SLU Billikens. Can you hear me okay, Kevin? We're sitting out here at Hot Shots and wishing you were here.
I can hear you perfectly. How are you doing? Good. Thanks for having me. And how you doing, Bill? Good to hear from you.
Awesome. Well, I've got Bill McDermott alongside, who I know is not only a St. Louis soccer encyclopedia, he's a St. Louis Billiken soccer and soccer encyclopedia. And you know, wanted to talk about the fact that I think within a matter of less than a week might be your first exhibition game. How's everything going, getting the team prepared?
Yeah, it's going really well. You know, we've been in preseason now for about 4 days or so. It's been a really productive 4 days, so I feel really good about where the group's at. Got a lot of new faces. But, yeah, I'm really excited about this year's team and, you know, excited for the game next Wednesday against Notre Dame.
And, Kev, what a recruiting class. A 17-man recruiting class, 4 transfers, 13 freshmen. Do you have enough uniforms?
Yeah, well, you know what? It was a unique year. We had a lot of seniors last year, obviously, with our last year's squad, and obviously with Max getting drafted and leaving a year early. You know, it's a little bit obviously larger than normal. I can't imagine there's going to be many future years with this many players. It just so happened that how it all kind of played out with all the graduations. But we have a great young group of guys, a lot of talent. You know, obviously it's a lot of new faces, like you said, so it'll probably take a little bit longer to really gel and get the best out of this group. But I'm really, really optimistic and excited to begin working with these guys.
Kev, these players come from so many different directions, different dynamics in the overall soccer pyramid, in the United States. Do you notice that the players coming in do not have such a big jump now to go to intercollegiate soccer? Or is it still a little bit of a pause in their career to get up to speed for the intercollegiate game?
You know what? I think it's a little bit of both. I think there's a lot of freshmen that can come in and hit the ground running, and I think the majority of them can play at the level, Bill. I think a lot of it is just really excelling at the level and the wear and tear of the amount of games you play in a short period of time. I think it's just getting used to the college season, getting used to the college competition, just playing against older players for the most part. You know, I know they can all play at the level, but can you impact at the level? Can you score goals? Can you make plays? Can you win your duels? I think majority of the guys we've got coming in as freshmen, I think we'll be ready to compete for time and spots. And I'm really kind of excited to see kind of where this team shapes up.
Actually, so my next question, Kevin, is you're looking at your schedule, you can see that August 13th, you're at Notre Dame. 16th, those exhibition kind of games, is that where you really look to test things out and see who proves up and what combinations work well? I know it's only two games, but how much can you accomplish in those exhibition games?
Well, they are very important. I mean, obviously, that's one of the downsides of the NCAA is you don't get a huge runway in preseason to kind of build your fitness or, you know, find your identity or even find combinations and pairs that kind of work well together. It's you're really kind of thrown into the fire from, you know, within the first 2 weeks. So we'll do our best. I think obviously there's a lot of that will happen in training sessions, but nothing replicates the games. So we'll use the two exhibitions against Notre Dame and DePaul as trying to figure out who's in the best form, what combinations the guys complement each other really well, and really try to, you know, again, build some momentum going into the first part of the season.
Kev, I know it's extremely early, very early, but as you mold this team, do you have a feel if indeed some of the freshmen incoming to school might have a chance to be in your first 11?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think, again, there's a lot of competition for spots right now. I mean, there's definitely a lot of senior players that have been with the program for 2 and 3 and 4 years that I think obviously will, you know, have a leg up on newer players just because they understand our system, they understand our language, they understand the expectations. They've played in college soccer games before. But, you know, I think the new players have done extremely well in the first 3 or 4 sessions. They fit right in. I know, you know, behaviorally and culture-wise, they're great fits for our locker room. And now it's just about, trying to get the best version of each of them and seeing where things shake out at the end.
Kev, one last question before we let you go. I ask this of every head coach that I ever speak to. Give us your opinion. Is head coaching at any level not so much just about the X's and O's and tactics and formations? Doesn't management of personalities play a huge part as well?
I actually think, yeah, I think now more than ever, Bill, I think it's just man management and really just these guys are so good. They're very talented. They're all extremely talented. We know that there's only 11 guys that can play at a time, but you're going to need, you know, all 30 to buy in and really kind of contribute to the team at one time or the other, whether that's off the bench or whether that's in a you know, separate game. I think that man management piece, keeping guys sharp, keeping guys informed, making sure that they're you know, their continued development individually, they're progressing as individuals, as the majority of them want to make this a career. I think all that kind of has to go together, and also in a team setting, trying to obviously win games. So I would agree with you. I think a lot of it is just getting the best out of each guy and really creating a culture where everybody feels valued and really enjoys being a part of something bigger than themselves.
Hey, Kevin, thanks for your time checking in with us at the Hot Shots on location for us. We appreciate your time, and we'll be watching the season, of course, checking in, and roll Bills.
Yeah, roll Bills. Thanks so much, guys. We'll see you soon, Bill. Take care.
Thanks, Kevin.
That was Kevin Kalish, head coach of the men's side of the SLU, Billiken Soccer, of course. You know, Bill, we have a minute or two before we pivot, go to a break, and then we'll talk about the women's side of the game, of course, with Katie Shields. What are you looking forward to? You do a lot of these games. You step in. You do analysis. What do you look forward to the most when you're stepping into a SLU game and calling that action?
For this team in particular, and for a goodly number in the past, seeing how the younger players, some of whom are transfers from other schools, seeing how they get involved in the team, how they shape the team, how they change possibly as players, and how they, as Kevin alluded to, how they adapt to the competition. I mean, Jen, Notre Dame, DePaul, South Florida, SMU, Seton Hall, Indiana, that's just six of your first games.
Welcome to soccer,
precisely, and that's what you have to do. When you have a season of 15, 16 games, you have to play top competition to get some recognition for your overall RPI as you play around the country.
That's awesome. Well, more to come. Stay right here. It's Bill McDermott, Mr. Soccer. It's Jen Seeds. We're here at Hot Shots off of South Lindbergh. It's basically at Lindbergh and Lime Ferry. Great location here. And I love seeing, I saw some people just walking in with like jackets over their head. Makes me wonder if it's sprinkling outside. But people are still coming in to meet JGR, get his autograph, get a selfie. He's here till 8. You can make it. Get on here. There's no more rush hour traffic. Come on out down and have a beverage, have a drink special. There's raffles, there's giveaways. It's a great time, and there's more to come. We're going to pivot to the women's side of SLU Billikens with Katie Shields. She's the head coach of the women's side of the Roll Bills. Katie's up next on KMOX. We're back on the KMOX Soccer Showcase presented by Michelob Ultra, live here from Hot Shots at the Lindbergh and Lime Ferry location. There's still 30 minutes left of this show. You got plenty of time to get here and get an autograph, maybe a selfie with Jake Gerwood-Reich, City center midfielder, center defender. He can do it all. We spent a few segments talking with him on the broadcast, and he's here meeting with fans and having a great time with giveaways, raffles. People are enjoying drink and beverage specials, and together with our partners Y98, that has all of our game broadcasts, along with Together Credit Union and Michelob Ultra, of course, as the sponsor, we're able to bring one of these first of four events to you. We'll give you more on what the other events are a little bit later in the hour. But time now to continue on Bill McDermott, Mr. Soccer, and I. Previous conversation, we talked with SLU Billikens head coach Kevin Kalish of the men's side. And joining us now, Katie Shields is on the line. She's on the women's side of things. And Katie Shields is, I think, already in action, because I think, Katie, you've already played one exhibition game.
We sure did. We went for a little run last night. It was fantastic to get back out.
And then Evansville coming up this weekend, Katie.
We did. I was
at training the other day, and I saw a lot of young players. Now, this happened to you 5 years ago, and that class seemed to work out just fine. Do you have the same feel for these new players?
You know, Bill, if you had asked me 2 days ago, I would have said, we'll see. But they played really, really well last night. Very excited. I think we'll be just fine with where we're headed this year.
Yeah, Katie, looking at your schedule, I know that you've always made a point when we've talked with you about making sure that the team is challenged. Bill, you were talking about it also with Kevin Kalish, making sure that the team is consistently challenged. Earlier, the better. Katie, when you look at the schedule, are you looking at any particular – you got to go one game at a time, but any particular
opponent, you know, that
you prep your team and say that you look at and go, we're looking to get to this game, and here's how we're going to get there along the way. Do you as a coach look at that, though, even if you don't let the players focus on that?
Yeah, I can't focus on what we won't let them. But I think for us, obviously, Saturday becomes another great opportunity to just see what we have and to try different pieces together and kind of give everybody as much opportunity as we can. But a week from today, it's for real. And, you know, last year we were kind of disappointed with our result against Kansas City. So we're not looking past anything, you know, the first game. And then obviously there are some kind of big names on that schedule and opponents we're very familiar with. So we'll take it day by day. And the goal for us is to test ourselves in these early games, see all different types, all different programs that are going to prepare us to not only win a championship in November, but prepare us to also win a championship in December. And that's, you know, can't do that on August, you know, August 7th, but we can prepare for the next day.
Katie, I've talked to so many head coaches, and one of the things they really enforce about their schedule during the course of a year is that you have to be successful at home. And Herman Stadium has proved to be a fortress for your team. You do superbly at home.
We do, and I'm biased. I think it's the best college soccer venue in the country. You know, if it's good enough for Ronaldo, Bill, you know, it's good enough for us, right? But we're just fortunate.
If it's good enough for Real Madrid and Chelsea and Bosnia-Herzegovina's national team, it's certainly good enough for college soccer.
It'll do. But it's just fortunate. I mean, it's an incredible venue. And I think what also makes it incredible is the community and the environment. We were 11th in the country in attendance a year ago. I expect us to be higher this year. And so, you know, I think being very elite at home is a recipe for success. And our women, they take a ton of pride in playing in front of the community and playing, you know, in front of their family, their friends, the fans. And so, you know, I thought, again, last night was a good start in that. We 5-0, you know, in our first outing with a lot of new faces, and just hoping to build off that at home.
I want to build on what you just said, because I think not only is it community that you feel from the fans, but I've been at your games where there are tons of screaming boys and girls, and they're in their club kits. They're supporting the women. And, you know, we don't, unlike talking with Kevin Kalish before on the men's side, we yet in St. Louis to have a pro women's team in town, such as like the NWSL. So I think for a lot of young girls in particular, they look to college soccer like SLU, and those are their heroes. And I want to say your players do such a great job connecting with the girls and boys after the game. Are they aware of that impact that they have on the community in that way?
You know, I think it
very much sometimes looked at like they are.
I think it, you know, we pride ourselves in being the premier women's program, women's team in St. Louis. And we talk about that. And I think, you know, our women are deeply connected because a lot of them were those young girls looking up to our women and are now on the other side in the jersey. And what an incredible, you know, kind of full circle legacy they get to give back to their community. And so it grows and, you know, as they get older, I think they appreciate it more within our program. But it's just a unique setting and a unique space for our women to be able to shine on the stage they are able to.
Katie, in prior conversations we've had, you've mentioned a great deal and talked about the overall culture and what you try to instill in some of these young women and the older players as well. But I look at a player like Hannah Larson, who's been around for years. Does she really set the bar for the overall culture of this particular team?
Bill, it feels like she's been here for decades at this point. You know, Hannah going into her sixth year, it's just we asked our women this past week to, you know, design an image that if they were to bring it to the team, we would succeed if they were to embody that image. And it was a part of a bigger culture building activity. And Hannah essentially drew an image of no ceiling, of this idea of that she was, you know, setting the ceiling, and there in fact wasn't one without her. And that's what she's done. I mean, she's done it with her performances, she's done it with her physical fitness, she's done it culturally. And Hannah was the first player in our recruiting her, I mean, we're talking about 8 years ago, who said, I want to come to SLU and I want to win a national championship, and I'm going to do everything I can to do that. And a lot of people say that. A lot of people can talk the talk, but Hannah's actually then every day walks that walk. And it's just, it's changed our trajectory. It's changed, you know, the stages that we're able to compete on and recruit at. And it's just extraordinary. I'm so grateful you know, the silver lining of an injury her freshman year is we get the opportunity to have her for a sixth year.
And I know you don't want to talk too much about players and their roles, but will Hannah still be either on the right or left wing running at people, Katie?
You know, we've actually moved her centrally, Bill. She's playing in the 10. She's and it's been
you know, we did that
in the spring.
You brought that up, and you brought that up, and I didn't want to because I didn't think I could. But now that you sprung that,
oh, he's so excited that you just said that.
Are you going to give her a 10 shirt, or is she going to continue to wear her number?
She's got to wear 16. It's what all the kids have bought, and okay. You know what she's known by. But Julia Simon will keep the 10 shirt, which is very fitting of her too. So. Hannah's moved inside, and just, you know, we think we have the other pieces that can play out wide now and give her just a more free and central kind of attacking role. And obviously she has the fitness and the lungs to do it, and I think it could be a really special season for her in there.
Well, Katie, thanks for joining us as Bill and I are sitting at Hotshots at Lindbergh and enjoying here time with St. Louis City SC, but of course checking in on the soccer that's just beginning all over again, and that is college soccer. Best of luck on the women's side. We'll be watching, and roll Bills.
Awesome. Roll Bills. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Katie. See you Saturday.
That was Katie Shields, head coach of the women's side of SLU Billiken Soccer, joining us. We've got one more segment to go. Don't go away. Stay here. JGR is still here signing autographs, connecting. I really like, too, when the players have kind of gone through and done a lot of signatures, you get to have some side conversations with fans and future hopeful players joining him. So make sure you do that. On the other side of the break, though, we got one more segment, and I promise, Mr. Soccer, we're going to talk some international soccer. We're going to talk about some international signees that I'm sure that Bill has all the scoop on about the FIFA 2026 Men's World Cup coming.
And that, but most importantly, you have to get through your son that Chelsea was an aberration in defeating PSG in the Club World Cup.
I heard you two arguing before a break. We save it for the show. So we're going to visit the international side of soccer for our last segment of the Camo X Soccer Showcase presented by Michelob Ultra. And here, joined with our partners, Y98, Together Credit Union, and here at Hot Shots Live. Stay with us. One more segment to go on Camo X. Final segment of the Camo X Soccer Showcase presented by Michelob Ultra. We are here live from the Hot Shots Lindbergh location. Great location here, and I understand they're building, and it's more to come. You know, Bill, you look. Bill McDermott's with me right now, Mr. Soccer. It already looks great on the inside. Do you know that on the outside they're gonna like make a patio here? So it's gonna be. Can you imagine the amount of soccer and people you can have at this location watching the beautiful game?
Well, and you certainly have enough screens. That is abundantly clear.
So we thanks to Hot Shots for this first of four events that is going to be occurring here in the St. Louis area around various Hot Shot locations featuring players. The featured player today, of course, Jake Girdwood Wright. JGR is still at the table signing autographs, connecting with players. It was great to have him on the broadcast earlier, talk a little bit with him, and have him connect, of course, with the players. I only get to normally see them when they're very, you know, sweaty and gross coming off the soccer pitch, sometimes asking them for an interview, and they're...
But they're always glad to talk.
Always glad. They never sweat on my microphone, ever. It's never gross. It's never not gross. But yeah, final segment here. Talk a little bit. We've got Mr. Soccer in the room. Got to talk about some international soccer as well. And I do want to apologize because I know you've been accosted by a young fan who I claim to have no relationship to.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And your current argument is PSG and Chelsea. Is this the argument I keep hearing?
Well, he's going by one match, the Club World Cup final, whereas in the process of the entire year last year, PSG eviscerated teams, with the exception, and we talked about this earlier in the show, with the exception of Aston Villa. Aston Villa almost pulled this off at Villa Park, they losing by one goal in the goal differential. But nonetheless, one of my all-time favorites from Bayern Munich. Not quite up there with Beckenbauer. Well, excuse me, no one is. But Thomas Müller signed yesterday with the Vancouver Whitecaps. I don't know if you've seen much of him as a younger player when he first started playing with Bayern and then for the national team. If there was one player for Germany's national team who had an infallible GPS system for the ball, it was Thomas Müller. And he was non-stop working working, get forward, get back, help out on defense, plug the gaps in the center circle, reward people for their running. And then remember, Jen, when in 2014 Brazil gets beat by Germany 7-1. That's right, folks, 7-1 in Brazil. I believe it was Thomas Müller who opened the scoring for Germany when they won that World Cup.
I hate to tell you this, but I'm pretty sure Jake Gerwood-Reich earlier admitted that he was a fan of Chelsea as well. So maybe we might have to pull him back over here.
And he's much bigger than Liam is as well.
So I know that you were interested too. We've talked about so much today. We've talked with Jake Gerwood-Reich, talk about St. Louis City, of course, with Dale Schilly, yourself, had a nice crossover segment there, and then talked, of course, about SLU Billikens getting ready to, or either have already on the women's side, had an exhibition game. I mean, the seasons are here. Youth season's here. College season's here. High school boys season is here. Tryouts are next week. Soccer never ends, and it definitely never ends on the international side.
Well, and in particular St. Louis, Jen. I mean, let's really look at it for all intents and purposes. But on the international side, yes, the English Premier League begins on August 16th. And as we were getting ready, preparing to do the Aston Villa game, it was very unique in that almost a daily basis, there was still talk of this player leaving, that player leaving. Very prominent players. I mean, Martinez, the goalkeeper from Argentina, who really won the World Cup for Argentina last time out in Qatar. Ollie Watkins, why would Aston Villa remotely entertain getting rid of him unless it's for a huge sum of money? And Manchester United has offered that huge sum of money. But a lot of players go back and forth still at this late date, getting ready for the respective leagues to start.
Do you know who likes stepping up to Ollie Watkins? That guy over there, JGR.
Yes,
he got
did.
A little twinkle in his eye when he talked about
he
it.
Did, yeah. Well, and when you get a chance to play against players like that, here's my one case of something like that. I mentioned earlier about the CYC All-Stars playing against teams of international pedigree at Public School Stadium. The CYC started that. Well, the game we played against Borussia Dortmund, here I am just out of McBride High School going to St. Louis U, and I'm playing against Lothar Emmerich and Siggy Held, who had just been in the 66 World Cup final. But our coach, Jim Bolognese, had us believing, had us built up to such an extent that you can play with these guys. I know you can. So consequently, we took that feeling to the field. Well, after the first goal in the first 45 seconds,
it felt good for a minute.
Quickly abandoned. But there's many building bricks in the overall foundation of what has made St. Louis the soccer city, the birthplace of the sport in our country. And I mentioned it to you so many times, Jen, we stand on the shoulders of so many people when we go to games at Energizer Park. Harry Keogh, Val Palazzaro, the Trainer brothers, the 1950 World Cup team, intercollegiate soccer at St. Louis University. For one reason, they've won 10 NCAA championships, 5 with Bob Gelker, 5 with Harry Keogh, with 95% St. Louis players.
What I think about too, not to interrupt, sorry, but on the women's side too, to have I've interviewed Michelle Akers in the past. She is the GOAT for me,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Just to know that, you know, she got watched by many St. Louis players who went on to do great things. Stephanie Gabbert's one of them to think about, but she saw Michelle play at Soccer Park when it was just Soccer Park.
Right.
Got to see that, and there's, you know, considered to be one of the greatest in the women's game, played in St. Louis at our Soccer Park in Fenton.
Speaking of the Soccer Park in Fenton, that's another one of these proverbial building blocks for the overall foundation. Joe Havelange, the president of FIFA, when Denny Long was president of Anheuser-Busch, Denny invited the FIFA delegation to come to St. Louis and visit the Soccer Park facilities. And Havelange at that particular time said, if this is what one of our biggest sponsors, if not our biggest sponsor, is willing to do for soccer in our country, maybe it is time to look to the United States for possibly being a host for a World Cup. Fast forward to 1994 and the seminal event in the history of the sport in our country, the World Cup comes to the United States in 94. And as opposed to what a goodly number of the naysayers said internationally, Jen, it turns out to be the most successful World Cup in the history of the event, with an average attendance of 68,991. Now, that will be surpassed next year because a goodly number of the venues being used, if not all, are all home to NFL teams. So consequently, there's large attendances at AT&T Stadium, Giant Stadium, Englewood, Stan Kroenke's new venue. So this is going to be probably the biggest sporting event ever in the history of our country.
If you really think about it, you know, we're a country that is still young and in this game as compared to the rest of the world.
Without question.
Right?
Without
question. And so when you do that, when you I think it's a great opportunity if hopefully there are fans that go, that get drug along with their friends, that fell into a ticket and realize, like, this is what it looks like around the rest of the world on a regular basis.
On a regular basis. And I know we have to get out of here, but one last point, Jen. What people saw in 1994 is it finally set in with a goodly portion of the populations coming to the game. And that is the most important factor of a World Cup. This is a country against a country, not a city against a city.
Well, thank you, Mr. Soccer, Bill McDermott, for being on the show. I want to thank a lot of people today for being on the show. Of course, talking with the SLU Billikens coaches, Katie Shields, Kevin Kalish, for calling in. I'm sure they were busy today with practices, and recruiting never stops on the college side of the game. Dale Schiller stopping by, doing his usual hit on this show and doing it in person. It was nice to hear him and Bill McDermott talk a little bit about how Bill doesn't move out of the center part of the circle on the pitch. That was so much fun.
There's no necessity to
very, very much. Very, very insightful. And, of course, a big round of applause for Jake Girdwood-Reich with St. Louis City SC, a defender, midfielder. He does it all. Spending time here. And, again, the first of many of these events that we're going to have in the area. This is event number one. Next week, September or August 14th, Hot Shots in Wentzville will be Jay Reed. September 18th, Arnold, Tomas Ostrak. September 25th, the Fenton location with Timo Baumgartel. That'll do it for this show. If you missed any portion of this broadcast, you can always catch it free on the Odyssey app. It gets downloaded, uploaded there for you to listen to later. The next Soccer Showcase, don't miss next week, and of course, City's next regular season game this Saturday against Nashville SC at home at Energizer Park. Thanks so much for joining us here at Hot Shots on Lindbergh. We appreciate your time. I'm Jen Cease on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team. Rep your city. Rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.